Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Pets Allowed, Joy's very own program about pets. Thank you very much to Leo for another great Friday morning of music. I am Kevin.
And I'm Oslem.
And as usual, Kate and Alan are here in the studio with us.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
So the countdown is on. We are very pleased to announce that the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic is opening next month. We're very thankful to have received the very valuable support from Mr. Samways, who requested that his bequest be used towards opening a new clinic from the home. Now, Kate, you were around when all this happened.
Mm-hmm.
What did Frank want to do? How was he supporting the home?
Well, Frank was probably one of our most generous donors, or was our most generous donor at the time. He is also a lovely, lovely man. I'd had the pleasure of meeting him on several occasions, and he really wanted to leave a lasting gift to the Lost Dogs Home, and had told us very early on that he wanted to leave a bequest to the home and that it go towards a new veterinary clinic. So this clinic that we're building, which is absolutely fabulous, state of the art, is totally made possible because of Frank's generosity.
Mm-hmm. So, Alan, what will, you know, this clinic mean to the Lost Dogs Home for starters and the wider community?
Well, I suppose, I mean, the building that we work out of at the moment was built in the 30s, and it's a lovely building and it's a historic building, but we've really outgrown it. You know, we trip over each other, mm-hmm. and, you know, the cracks in the walls get bigger every year. So it's going to be a much nicer working environment, and we're going to be able to do more work. And any income that we generate in the clinic always goes to help look after lost and stray animals, so that's a real bonus.
That's great to hear. And so we look forward to discussing a bit more about the clinic in a fortnight's time.
Yeah, we'll be covering it more in depth. We'll be looking at, you know, all the sort of the new equipment, the facilities that will be on offer.
Yeah.
But also, as far as I understand, the existing vet clinic's going to be revamped as well. So maybe we might hear a bit about that too.
It's going to become an adoption centre, which is fabulous.
Yeah, because at the moment, if you adopt, I don't know, those of you who have adopted animals might remember, when you pick up your animal, you have to sit outside in this kind of bus shelter thing. Fill in the paperwork and knock on the window. So once that's up and running, it's going to be much friendlier.
Some really positive changes, definitely.
So today we're going to be putting on our stethoscopes and taking a look at the daily working of our vet clinic. So Alan will tell us a bit about our work experience program as well, the veterinary work experience program. And we're also going to hear from a fresh vet graduate who I caught up with early this week about getting into the field. If you have any thoughts or maybe any questions at any stage throughout the program, please feel free to contact us.
Pets Allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
Don't forget, you can also SMS us 0427 Joy 949 or give us a call 1300 Joy 949. Also coming up on Pets Allowed today, our resident vet Alan will answer curly questions.
We preview upcoming dog-friendly events and dog dates.
And at the tail end of the program, we will draw the curtains open on our pet of the week. But coming up, we bring you up to speed on the news of the week with the Lost Dogs Home News Wrap. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time to recap the news and events of last week. Now, Kate, I hear Reggie, our microchipping
Winnebago,
that's the word I was looking for, has maybe headed somewhere.
Yeah, she hopped on the Spirit of Tasmania last night at about 5 o'clock and would now be in Tasmania to do 2 weekends of microchipping in Tasmania. It's our first trip, it's not our first trip, the National Pet Register's first trip to Tasmania, but it certainly is Reggie's first trip down there. And we'll be visiting Launceston, Georgetown and Devonport to offer discount microchipping and the free tags, of course.
Is this not the first road trip for Reggie, surely?
No, Reggie's actually just come back from a really enormous road trip around Queensland. We visited some really remote areas up there, but I can't remember the exact figure, but it was well over 1,000 dogs and cats they microchipped while they were on that trip, which is fantastic.
It's incredible, and this is kind of so a micro tour in comparison to...
Exactly. Pardon the pun.
Exactly.
Kind of.
So, Alan, we talked a little bit about Sammy and Billy, two little 9-year-old Maltese terriers that were looking for a home. How are they going? Are they still with us?
They're still with us. The two 9-year-old best friends arrived at the Lost Dogs Home in North Melbourne together, and they were really, really neglected. They both were weighed down by long dirty, heavily matted coats that completely covered their whole bodies. And actually, when we clipped them off, they came off in one piece. They're true friends. We don't know where they've been. Their past is shrouded in mystery, but we do know that their story hints that they've been through a lot together, never leaving, they've never been apart. So to learn more about them, you can check out the video on our social media and website. If you're interested in adopting them, to adopt Sammy, his animal ID is 921040 and Billy is 921041, and we would like to keep them together. Please contact North Melbourne on 9329 2755.
So that video should be going up as we speak. So They're two little gorgeous Maltese.
They are, and it's actually good to see them, how they interact together, and that's the great thing about doing it on a video as opposed to just photographs.
They're lovely little dogs, but they've actually done quite a few photo shoots for us over the last week or two as well. Very friendly and easy to get along with.
Excellent. Definitely. Now, Oz, I believe we heard from a former resident this morning.
We love getting updates from our former residents. A couple of months ago, we got an update from we dubbed her the ambassador to England, Shadow, a cat by the name Shadow. Today we received an update from a former resident who has been doing some amazing work in Thailand with elephants. Former stray, now superstar Buddy, has been doing the media circuit in Thailand for his work with elephants. Buddy moved to Thailand with his adoptive family, Michelle and Iwa, I believe, about 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they work very closely with Elephant Stay who assist. It's a project to assist the protection of aging elephants in Thailand. Mm. And so, yeah, Buddy was featured on the local TV there, and he's also in a book of the top 18 dogs in Thailand.
Oh, wow.
Thank you to Iwa and Michelle for keeping us updated.
That's right. They look like two lovely ladies who, have taken their passion overseas and taken their family with them as well.
Mm, definitely.
And here, Buddy actually adopted a dog of his own over in Thailand as well, and she was also featured in the book. So, these kind of things happen.
Yeah. They've also been in the Herald Sun, I think, in Melbourne as well. So they're quite a famous family.
Yeah, absolutely. And Buddy is quite a famous dog. And, he's from a shelter. He's from the Lost Dogs Home. Yes. So it's great to see that.
They can reach great heights, those shelter dogs.
They go a long way.
Yeah.
That's right. So you can see more about Buddy and all of our stories on our social media page or on the Lost Dogs Home website, which is dogshome.com. Coming up after this, we're going to talk about the Lost Dogs Home Veterinary Clinic.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
So caring for shelter animals as well as privately owned pets, the Lost Dogs Home Veterinary Clinic in North Melbourne sees thousands of sick and injured animals each year.
With 10 full-time veterinarians and 20 nurses, the clinic does from basic to more complex procedures.
So anywhere from microchipping to surgeries to desexing, that sort of thing. It's not a conventional private practice, though.
It's not. So we've got Alan here to sort of shed some light on that. How does the Lost Dogs Home vet clinic differ from a conventional clinic?
Well, the clinic functions as a normal vet clinic for fee-paying members of the public. So anyone can bring in their animals, and we do routine and non-routine stuff. We do surgery. We have x-rays, ultrasounds. Most of the vets have got their own special interests. So we've got one vet who's particularly into ultrasound. We've got a couple of vets who are into acupuncture. So we do some sort of not traditional things as well. We provide veterinary services to the shelter. So every day we treat sick and injured stray animals, and we get animals ready for adoption. So that involves the desexing and microchipping and all those treatments. And we have a role in assessing animals for suitability for adoption. So we make sure that as far as we can tell, they're healthy before we put them up for adoption. Mm. Or that, if they've got any issues, at least we can treat those issues and then let the new owners know what's going on. And we don't make a profit, so any profit we do make goes towards the running of the shelter, so looking after lost and stray animals.
Mm. So I can imagine you've got not only the shelter animals, but the privately owned animals as well. You'd see quite a few different things during the day. You'd see quite a different varied approach to animal welfare and that sort of thing as well. What kind of, what's the typical daily, like what's a general daily routine for you?
Well, most of us start work at 8 in the morning, and we start off looking after the shelter. So the vets do the rounds to treat sick and injured animals. We may need to treat or check over animals that have come in overnight. If the ambulances pick up anything any animals that are really badly injured overnight, they take them to an emergency centre. So, and they provide 24-hour care. And then we need to arrange for those animals to be transferred in by ambulance. At 10 o'clock, the gates open and the public come in. So that's the shelter gates and the clinic gates. And I suppose we try to break up the day. So you either spend the morning consulting and the afternoon in surgery, or vice versa, so that you don't end up doing the same thing all day and getting bored.
Now, with the opening of our new vet clinic, obviously at the moment we've got sort of, you know, those restricted hours for when the shelters open. Is there going to be much difference there at all?
Yeah, we're going to be open longer hours. So we'll be able to open at 8 o'clock, which makes it easier for people to drop off animals before they go to work. And we'll be, I think we're going to be open until 7 o'clock, so people will be able to come in after work as well.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of what you were saying before about adoption, what does the clinic specifically do to, you know, obviously better the chances of the animals there to be adopted?
Well, everything that's adopted has to be desexed, microchipped. We worm them and deflea them. All dogs are heartworm tested to make sure they're not carrying heartworm. All cats are tested for FIV to make sure that they're healthy as well. We also have animals who may need treatment before they go up for adoption, so maybe skin disease, things like that. So we treat those and sometimes put them into foster care until they get better. Another major role is supporting owners of animals just after they've been adopted. So every animal that we adopt, we give this sort of, it's a limited health cover, but for 2 weeks they can bring it in. They don't have to pay for any consultations, or if it needs surgery, they don't generally need to pay for that. Mm. Just to treat any conditions that may have been, you know, there when they were adopted, or that they may have contracted when they were in the shelter.
It seems like that's also a good period to sort of stay in touch with the progress of these animals and how their owners are going with them.
It is. It's really good. You know, you don't want someone to adopt an animal and then feel lost. So it's good that they know that they can have that contact and they won't have to pay for our time.
Now, shortly we're going to hear from Laura Balanoff, a newly graduated vet who has spent a fair bit of time at the Lost Dogs Home getting practical experience. So we have a work experience program with the Lost Dogs Home Vet Clinic. Kate, you've been around Lost Dogs Home for a while. Has this been happening ever since you've been here?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, they've been coming in on virtually on a weekly basis. There's someone in the veterinary clinic doing work experience there from Melbourne Uni, is that right?
Yeah, they come from all over. When you train as a vet, you don't actually, well, you have practical training at vet school, but a lot of your practical experience you have to pick up in practice. And lots of vet students like to come to us because we're really busy and they can get lots of surgical practice, and they find it a really rewarding experience.
It's also, I guess, a good support for you as well, the other vets.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's, once we train them up, they're really useful.
Good. Just briefly, how does it work? You know, if we've got students out there listening at the moment, how does it generally work?
Generally, most of them at Melbourne Uni, they have been coming in. They have a 3-week elective in their final year, so they choose to come in, and basically they just learn to do surgery. We get booked up really far in advance. So I think our diary was full until like 2014 or something like that. So there probably isn't much space at the minute. But
how valuable do you think the program actually is in terms of that, getting that experience, especially because a lot of them are going to graduate and go out to shelters or vet clinics or private vet clinics very soon? How valuable is that experience?
It's really, really good. I mean, a lot of vet students will graduate and they may only have done, you know, 5 or 10 surgeries, and so they need their new employers need to supervise them and bring them up slowly. But if they come to us for 3 weeks, they can end up having done sort of 80 surgeries. So
I think it's also really important that they get a really great understanding of shelter pets, and they're advocates for adopting for shelters. So I get they probably have a greater understanding when they're dealing with those animals in practice later on when they're in work. But also, if people discussing getting a dog or a cat, they can, hand on heart, you know, recommend going to a shelter.
So coming up right after this, we're going to hear from Laura Balanoff in my interview with her earlier this week.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
So earlier in the week, I caught up with Laura Balanoff. She's currently studying veterinary science. She's about to graduate and she's doing some extra work experience at the shelter. So having travelled from the US of A to Australia to do a degree, she starts off here by telling us why she first looked at becoming a vet.
I am one of those people that's wanted to be a vet since I was like 4 years old, and I've always just loved animals, like most people that want to be veterinarians. I mean, I guess from there, you actually, as you get older, when I got into my teen years, I actually thought about what the job would involve and got involved at shelters and saw what vets actually do. And I decided, like, I like the problem solving you have to do every day, as well as getting to work with people and animals. And so I decided I wanted to go to vet school.
Coming over from America to Melbourne to study as well, that's a bit of a big deal. How did you do that?
I'm from Chicago, so the vet school in my state is the University of Illinois, and it's a great school, but it's sort of in the middle of nowhere in a cornfield kind of thing. And I did my first science degree in Canada, and I really liked living out of the U.S., and I thought I'd get a life experience as well as going to vet school and be able to live in an awesome city. So I decided just to apply to Melbourne, and I got in, so here I am.
So you volunteered a lot at a shelter when you were growing up and seeing that kind of thing. Why shelters? What was the thing that drew you to volunteering and working at a shelter?
At first, when I was a teenager, it was sort of the only place I could get experience, but then I really grew to love seeing animals get adopted out and actually find a good home. And I feel like working in welfare as a vet, kind of, at least for me, I feel like I can make more of a difference with my degree and advocate for animals that don't have an advocate, and be able to hopefully improve welfare here, or if I go back to the U.S., just I think vets can really make a big impact.
You've done quite a lot of time at the Lost Dogs Home as well, and even after you finish, because you've finished now, haven't you?
Yeah, I have my couple weeks off, and then I'm graduating in a couple weeks, so I'm all done with my exams. But I thought I would come back to Lost Dogs for a couple weeks, just because I was here back in January and February, and I really enjoyed my experience, and everyone's very welcoming, and I get to do a lot of surgery, and I just thought it'd be really a good experience to come back. And it's just a Lost Dogs Home is a great shelter, and people really care about the animals here, and I just wanted to get a bit more experience.
So what are some of the challenges with obviously working in a shelter environment, but also working as a vet?
I think, obviously I haven't worked officially as a vet yet, still looking for a job, but I think, especially working in a shelter, you obviously see a lot of cruelty cases, that kind of thing, and it can be really confronting. I guess the good side of it is that you do hopefully see animals get adopted out and get rehabilitated, but it can be really hard, and you see animals that have their owners have really let them down, and it can be really difficult to deal with. And then as a vet in general, I think it can be a hard job just dealing with people and animals every day, and just all the communication skills you have to have, and just to work through your day, you have a lot of different challenges throughout the day. So
do you find it emotionally challenging as well, or?
I think being in a shelter environment, like working in a shelter environment, there has been times that it is pretty emotionally challenging. I think dealing with euthanasia in a shelter or in a regular clinic can be really difficult, because emotions are running high, and obviously people love their animals as much as they're, human family members, so it can be difficult.
And is that sort of when you draw on the people around you and the other staff and everything like that for that support?
Yeah, I think you need to talk to people. I especially at school, I talk to my fellow classmates about difficult, situations that we're in throughout the day, and it can be helpful I can't bottle it up, I need to talk about it, but yeah, you kind of have to find different ways to deal with things.
So you're currently on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Right now we're listening to Laura Balanoff, who I caught up with earlier the week. She's a work experience student at the Lost Dogs Home Veterinary Clinic and a recent vet science graduate. So let's hear a bit more from her.
So what do you love most about the whole experience of studying to be a vet and working in a shelter and everything like that?
I think it's hard to say what I love the most, but there's just a lot of things. Like, obviously, I like working with animals, so I've gotten to see all kinds of different animals, especially coming to Australia, getting to work with kangaroos and koalas and stuff like that was really interesting. And I've worked on animal sanctuaries, so a lot with larger animals, and that's been really interesting just to see all the different places veterinarians work. In general, for me, what I love the most is just to see animals and their owners, like, having a very good human-animal bond, and just people being happy to come to the vet and being able to help people with their problems.
Through sort of, your veterinary eyes and through training as a vet, where do you see animal welfare going moving forward?
I think it's only going to improve from here. Like, just even for me being American coming to Australia, I think that the animal welfare, at least for small animals, is better than in the U.S. Like, we still do declaws in the U.S. We still do ear cropping and tail docking, and I don't really agree with those practices, but they're pretty common over there, and here and most of the EU as well, they don't do those kinds of things, and I think it's only going to improve. I think that people are definitely more aware, and just people think more about animal welfare, whether that be with farm animals or small animals. And I think in the future, I think more people will be adopting animals rather than going to pet shops. And I think it's more in the public view.
So that was my interview with Laura Balanoff, a recent vet graduate, and she was also doing a lot of work experience with the Lost Dogs Home. So definitely talking about a shift in shelter attitudes towards shelter animals as well. So what did you guys think?
Yeah, look, I think she certainly sounds quite dedicated at what she does. She's so articulate, and also, you know, that passion comes from somewhere really close to her heart.
She is. She's great, and she's been a joy to have around the clinic. And I think it's really important to remember that as she said, she's going to graduate in 2 weeks' time. So there'll be about 150 vets graduating from Melbourne Uni. So I'd just like to ask all you pet owners out there that when you go to the vet, you might see someone new and you might think they look really young, but they really know what they're talking about because they probably know more at this stage than I do because I've forgotten it all. So just be kind to them. Yeah. Be nice to them and, you know, treat new vets with respect. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
So when we come back, we're going to talk a bit more about the changing perceptions in attitude towards adopting a shelter pet. So if you have any thoughts, any comments, anything like that, send us an SMS 0427 joy 949, or they can email us on what email address?
On air at joy.org.au.
That's right. And don't forget, we are podcasting the show as well, so if there's something you might have missed, if you want to listen to any of our interviews again, check out our program page on the Joy website, which is joy.org.au. Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Now, he's so shy is something that could be said a lot about the animals that come into the Lost Dogs Home, because we do often see a lot of shy and timid dogs and cats that actually come in. So over time, we've actually seen quite a gradual shift in perception towards adopting a dog or a cat from a shelter.
This shift is very visible, actually, in the vet clinic, with more and more cats and dogs receiving treatments for things they hadn't perhaps before. So, exactly. Alan, you've been with the Lost Dogs Home since 1995.
Yep. So I suppose in the olden days, a lot of people, not all people, but some people used to see shelter dogs as cheap dogs. So as a result of that, they didn't value them as much as they might have valued a dog that they'd gone out and paid a lot of money for. Mm-hmm. And they weren't really willing to adopt animals with issues, which might end up costing them money. So things like skin disease or, you know, that sort of thing.
Or cause them trouble too, I think, with behaviour issues as
well. Yeah, they just wanted an easy cheap fix, which doesn't really work when you're talking about animals. So owners like this, people who wanted that sort of dog weren't really bonded with their dogs, and they didn't look after them so well because they didn't value them so much. And I think they were likely to end up back in shelters again.
Now, Kate, you've worked with the Lost Dogs Home for about 20 years and working in communications and that sort of thing as well, and fundraising. Is that something you see through the calls, through phones, through the stuff you see online? The perception towards adoption, how is it changing?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's becoming more trendy, you know, the done thing to adopt now. And rather than, you know, go to a breeder or a pet, and definitely not a pet shop these days. I think, you know, Alan, you fix some medical issues, and we also help with behavioural issues as well. And I think people take great pleasure in helping an animal like that. I know that for me, I've taken on a dog that was really shy and timid, and it's been a really great experience knowing that I can give that dog a home and a safe place to be, and that's probably, you know, more rewarding than just going and getting a puppy somewhere. So I think people see that they're making a difference when they adopt a shelter dog.
And I mean, that's where we see sort of the change in our behaviour rehabilitation program or our vet clinic as well, the increase in demand for those sort of things, because people start to understand that not all dogs from a shelter have these stigmas attached to them, but some might actually need that little extra care and love.
Yeah. And it's, you know, there are lots of things which, if you manage them appropriately don't really become a problem. So it's just about educating people how to look after those animals and what sort of extra care they might need. And, you know, then it's all going to be a success.
That's right. I think you get a lot more support these days from people, from the staff in the shelter or the veterinary team when you take on those animals. So you're not feeling like you're alone. And we have the post-adoptive training sessions and things so people can come back and ask more questions. And
Yeah, and the really important thing is that people know what they're getting. You know, it's not
really
good if they think they're getting something with no problems and then 2 weeks later they find out that it's got, you know, an ear infection that needs treating. So we try to adopt out conditions which are easily treated and easy to control.
And what about the more complex conditions as well? We had a gorgeous pup, Nevada.
Yep, so that was a pup which had a congenital heart problem. And so we worked it up and found that if it was... if she had surgery, then she was likely to live a normal, healthy life. So our friends around the corner, there's a great vet clinic called Advanced Vet Care, which is a specialist clinic. So they performed the surgery, but one of our vets went around and helped, and she's had the surgery. She bounced back. You know, she was back within 2 days, and now she's been adopted out. It's not, we don't always have to send them to specialists. We do lots of non-routine surgery on dogs before we adopt them.
So let us know what you think. Have you adopted from a shelter before, and have you changed your perception about adoption? Is it something you've never thought about before? You can SMS us 0427JOY949, or you can email right now on air at joy.org.au, or send us an email throughout the week, lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Right after this, Alan and I will be tackling some curly questions in our Q&A.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
It is time to take a look at some of the questions we received. Now, we've received one question. We talked a bit about it last week, but we're going to answer the question fully today. It was an email from Claudette. Now, Claudette asked that they really wanted to adopt a dog as part of their family, but they also have a 16-year-old cat. They want to know, when they adopt, how are they going to know if the dog is used to having cats around? And do we check that these dogs get along with cats, basically?
Look, we don't routinely check whether dogs get along with cats, because really it's not fair on the cats. You'd need a very, very tolerant cat to put up with that all the time. With regards to your own cat, it kind of depends a bit on how he is. If he's a healthy, robust 16-year-old, then it's fine to adopt a dog. But I suppose if he's getting on well, or if he's getting a bit feeble or a bit unsteady, it might be better to wait and not get a dog to upset him, you know, in his twilight years. If you are going to get a dog, I would think you should probably get a small, middle-aged dog. And I suppose if you came into the shelter and picked one, and there was one that you thought was going to work out, we probably could introduce it to cats and just sort of see how he responds. You know, if he gets really excited, then obviously it isn't going to work. But if he's pretty relaxed, then that should be fine. We do have dogs which have been fostered out to people who have cats. So that would be a good way to know. You know, we don't always have them, but it's certainly a possibility. And I suppose if you do take a dog home, I would keep a lead on it for the first few days on him or her. And you can just leave a light lead trailing behind them, so that if there are any issues, you can grab them and stop them chasing the cat, and always make sure that the cat has an escape route.
Yeah, and it's just, I think, about introducing them slowly as well. So I have two dogs, obviously, but I've been to friends' places that have cats. My dogs aren't used to having cats because we don't have cats at home. So we introduce them slowly if we ever do that. So between a door or between a cage or something like that. So that at least, you know, the cat, if it doesn't want to go near the dog, it can have that space to escape.
Yeah, and from my experience, I mean, I don't have cats at the minute, but I used to have cats and dogs back in the UK, and I don't ever remember having a problem.
Excellent. So if you have a question for Dr. Alan, our Joy veterinarian, please email us throughout the week, lostdogshome@joy.org.au, or you can join us on our social media pages. All that information is at joy.org.au. Just go to the Pets Allowed page, or you can also visit our website, which is dogshome.com. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Your pet's community calendar.
This is Dog Dates.
Grab your pencils. It is time for Dog Dates, your pet's community calendar, where we take a look at some of the upcoming events these next couple of weeks. So on November 25th, Dancers with Dogs Victoria is having a trial, a dog dancing trial, which will be held at KCC Park, which is 655 Western Port Highway in Skye. Now, entries have closed already, but it might be a good idea to go down if you're interested in learning what doggy dancing is, or if you have no idea what doggy dancing is. And Oz, I know you're looking at me like you're going to ask me a question here because you know something.
I believe you're participating tomorrow.
I've got a class for dog dancing. I'm not actually going to be participating in the trial because my puppy is too young for dog dancing, but it is something that I am interested in. I have
what
a blog.
What sort of moves do you have? Sort of dance moves are you doing at the moment?
There's a lot of different stuff. So it's a lot about getting the dog to dance rather than myself. So things like spinning or heeling and, you know, lots of twirls, turns.
Weaving in between your legs,
that's right. Figure eights around a cane, that sort of thing. So there's a whole bunch of different things that make up dog dancing. There's also heel work to music, which is quite similar, but you need to have the dog in a heel work position 60% of the time.
Are costumes involved?
Yes, there is.
I have this vision of Strictly Ballroom.
That's right.
Okay. I was thinking of Saturday Night Fever, that sort of thing.
Look, I'm currently working on our first routine because, you know, she is a bit young at the moment. We probably won't start trialing into next year. And I'm thinking it's going to have a bit of a surfing feel. So
okay, bring out the Beach Boys.
Yeah, that's right.
A couple of shirts, I can see, yeah.
Yeah, Hawaiian shirts or something like that. You know, it's really interesting. Look, it is a fun sport. You know, and dog dancing's taking over the world at the moment. I mean, Britain's Got Talent, exactly. USA Got Talent, both of those shows this year were actually won by dog troops. So it's great to see and it's great to hear.
So what were the details for that again?
So you can check out the website dancerswithdogsaustralia.com. November 25th will be the upcoming trial and it'll be held at KCC Park, which is 655 Western Port Highway in Skye.
Just reminding about, you know, if you're interested in training, a reminder that the Croydon and District Obedience Dog Club has a 1-hour class every Sunday morning between 9:30 and 11 a.m. and that's at Silcock Reserve, William Road, Croydon. The club's a volunteer-run club. They promote positive reinforcement techniques, developing mutual respect and rewarding good behaviour. If you want to join them, the classes will not run in December and January, so you've got a couple of weeks to get in there before the break. For more information, visit their website, cdodc.com.au, or call 9723 7194 between 9:15 and 10:30 a.m.
Now, Kate, I believe it's coming up to 12/12 Day.
Yeah, the National Pet Register has a special day of awareness on the 12th of December. It's 12/12 Pet ID Day, and the aim of that day of awareness is to raise awareness for identifying your pet with a microchip and a tag, keeping your contact details up to date so that if they ever become lost, we can reunite the lost pet with their owner. Now, in celebrating that day, we're going to be doing a very special day of 12 hours of $12 microchipping at our new veterinary clinic on petregister.com.au. Our booking sheet is now up, so you can actually go online at petregister.com.au and book a $12 microchipping then.
I think this is really exciting, actually, having one day devoted to reminding people, you know, to do this.
Yeah, we're very excited about it.
We're hoping it'll become an international event at some point.
That's right.
So that wraps up our dog dates for another week. If you have a community event you would like to add, please send us an email, lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Please include event date, location, and a brief description of the event with your contact details. You can also check out our program page on the Dogs Home website.
Yes, we do update our program page every Monday. So generally our podcast will go up there on a Monday or Tuesday, but all of the details that you hear on the program will be up there. The address for that is dogshome.com/petsaloud.
If you're thinking about adopting a cat or a dog, listen up because we're going to be unravelling our pet of the week this week. You're with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This week's pet of the week.
You're on Joy 94.9 with the Lost Dogs Home. Right now we're going to take a look at our pet of the week. Kate, who do we have this week?
This week we have the lovely Scruffy. Scruffy is a Jack Russell Terrier cross. He's 5 years old. He's tan and white, mostly white with a lovely tan face. He's a very happy little fellow with a waggy tail. He'd be fantastic, I think, in a family or even for an older couple. He's pretty active at the moment, but, you know, a few walks would help with that, or walk every day. He loves people. Now, Jack Russells are great dogs. I love Jack Russells. They're really smart. And
they're really busy little dogs as well, so you need to keep them occupied.
That's right. But they're, you know, pocket size, I guess. Yep. They're a good size, and they've also got a short coat, which makes them really easy to care for. So I think he'd be a great dog if anyone's interested to come and meet him this weekend at the Lost Dogs Home. If you want more information about Scruffy by name but not by nature, you can contact the Lost Dogs Home on 9329 2755. They'll be able to help you, or you can visit our website at dogshome.com.
And just his animal ID there
is 924106.
And Jack Russells are great dogs. My mum has one, and she's, I think, about 10 years old now, and she's going great. So if you missed that, you can catch our podcast. Now that we have come to the end of another Pets Allowed program, thank you so much for listening. And what are we talking about next week?
Well, next week we're going to be looking at 1212 Pet ID Day, and we'll be asking, is your pet invisible? Curious? Well, you should listen in.
So remember, if you have a question for our resident vet, Alan, please send us an email at lostdogshome@joy.org.au. You can also find all our information about Pets Allowed and our podcast on our Joy program page, joy.org.au, or our website, dogshome.com. Coming up next is the Afternoon of Joy with Sammy for some of the freshest music around. Remember to walk your dogs.
Pat your cat.
Yep.
And what else? Identify.
Update and reunite.
Thank you very much for listening. You've been with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.